Revelation chapter 19, I want to read the first seven verses. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! Can you just hear the excitement in their voice as they're worshiping and praising our God? And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants. That's us today. We're here to praise the Lord. And ye that fear Him, do you fear God?
Yes.
I do. I fear Him in different ways. But the main way to fear God is by honoring Him. By humbling ourselves before Him. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters. And as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning as we think for just a little while concerning the subject of Our God Reigns. We sang that a while ago, and I'm going to go ahead and ask you ahead of time that we sing it again at the end of the service. Our God reigns. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
I do. I believe that our God is in absolute control. I don't care what the world would try to have us to believe. I don't care how much they want to persuade us that man is in control, that politics are in control, that a political party is in control, or anything else on this earth is in control. I'm here to affirm by the Word of God this morning, our God reigns. And we're here to worship Him. We're here to bow before Him. We're here to acknowledge the fact that God is the one that we trust. God is the one that we lean upon. God is the one that will see us through no matter what comes our way. In the darkest of times, God is reigning. You say, how can you know that? Well, different ways. But one is, the darkest time that was on the face of the earth came some 2,000 years ago when Jesus was nailed to the cross. The world was in control then, right? Thank you. Wrong. Our God reigns. Even when His own darling Son was nailed to the cross, when they were mocking Him even before that and spitting upon Him and smacking Him and blindfolding Him and smacked Him and said, tell us who hit you. When they put the crown of thorns upon His head and they put the purple, and one account says purple, one says scarlet, robe about Him and gave Him a stick and said, this is your scepter. And they bowed mocking Him. Hail, King of the Jews. Jesus was out of control then, right? No, He wasn't. He was absolutely in control. Can you see the depth of God's love for us? So deep that He allowed His Son to endure such shame and pain and humiliation. And He did it for a sinner like Steve Taylor. That goes beyond my comprehension. It goes beyond my ability to take in my mind and figure this thing out and rationalize. There is no rationalization to God's grace. It goes beyond and above anything that we could ever hope or imagine. And yet it is absolutely true. God loves us not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, not because of who our parents or our grandparents or not even what denomination we belong to. Our God reigns. And He honors those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's the desire of my heart this morning, is that we worship our Lord God. John the Beloved, as he's writing this, he starts out in verse 1 by saying, and it's said three times in the first six verses, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! All praise to our God. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah! In verse 1, salvation is His. Glory is His. Honor is His. Power is His. Everything that we need to get from one day to the next, from one night to the next night, everything that we need is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigns. I don't know about you, but this Easter, I'm excited about my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the fact of what He has done for me. I'm excited about the fact that He endured all of this just so that I would have a home in heaven's glory. And you can say that for yourself, too. Just for you. He died just for you. Salvation belongs unto God, but it was given to you. Deliverance. What were we delivered from? Well, he used some rough language in verse 2 in the King James Version. But I'm just going to put it this way. He saved us from our sin. He saved us from our sin. You might say, well, give me enough time and I'll make up for anything wrong I've done. No, you won't. I don't care how much good you do from this moment forward, it won't make up for the bad that has been done in our lives in the past. There's nothing that we can do that would overcome the bad that we've done. That sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? But I want to say to you once again, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You see, where I failed, He reigns. Where I am in absolute utter defeat, He's in absolute utter victory. He reigns. And so it says here in verse 2 that He avenged the blood of His servants. Jesus avenged your blood. What was there about our blood that needed to be avenging? The sin nature that was ours as a result of the fall of Adam back in the Garden of Eden. You might say, well, that was Adam. That was then. This is now. Well, guess what? If this was the Garden of Eden, have you had all pure thoughts since you've been in this building? Has there anything gone through your mind that shouldn't have been there in the last 5 minutes? If so, you just fail. So what had to take place to avenge my failure? What had to take place to avenge my falling? What had to happen to take place of the sin nature that was in my blood? It had to be avenged. Either that or we were forever banished from the presence of God. There was no way we could turn that around and bring ourselves into a place where that we would be accepted by God into His heaven's glory when we're sinners. Because I'll tell you, there is no sin there. There is nothing that would corrupt heaven that could be found there. So therefore, if He allowed us to go in our sin nature, we would corrupt heaven and it wouldn't be heaven anymore. So one of two things either had to happen. Either let us go on our way, and you know where that would take us. Or for the Lord to intervene on our behalf. I'm thankful God intervened on our behalf. And how did it happen that He intervened on our behalf? He avenged our blood. What if He just said, oh, that's okay. I'll forget it this time. Well, Paul says that in order for Him to be both just and the justifier, something had to take place. In order for Him to be just in that He had declared that death would be the result of sin, something had to take place to I won't say offset that, but to take care of that. And so, God devised this plan. And His plan was this. I'm going to send my Son to the earth. And my Son is going to be made in flesh. And my Son is going to live His life absolutely perfectly. No sin whatsoever. no sinful thoughts, no sinful words, no sinful attitudes, no sinful actions. But at the appointed time, my son, who doesn't deserve to die, he's going to die. But wait a minute. The wages of sin is death. If he doesn't sin, how could Jesus die? God said, I got that taken care of also. And I don't know the mechanics of how that he did this, but he reached down and took all of your sin nature and all of my sin nature and all the sin nature of all for whom Jesus died. And he took them from us and he put them upon his son Jesus. He who had no sin whatsoever, he who knew no sin, was made to be sin. It wasn't his sin. It was mine. Was it yours?
Yes.
Yeah. It was your sin too that God took from you. You know, I say, well, I wasn't even born then. That's okay. God knows. He declares the end from the beginning. So he knew you even before he created Adam. He knew you. How did he do that? I don't know, because I didn't know you before I met you. I'm not God. Hallelujah. I'm not God. But hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Because in his glory and his power and his majesty and his service and his honor, he reached down and he took that and he took our sins and he gave us salvation. Now that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? You can't get any better than that. Verse 3 says, and again they said, hallelujah! And their smoke rose up forever and ever. When you see smoke rising, you know there's fire, right? And where there's fire, there's something being destroyed. Even in a campfire, there's something that's being destroyed, and that's the campfire wood. Something's being destroyed when there's fire. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's fire, there's going to be some smoke that comes off of that. It says that the smoke rose. The smoke rose up forever and ever. What was destroyed that the smoke was rising up? Your sin. Your sin was destroyed. Your sin was taken care of on the cross on Calvary's Hill. When Jesus shed his righteous and holy blood, the sin that had been placed upon him, his blood as it came forth from his body, as he shed his blood, the sin, the blood washed the sin away. It destroyed the sin. You might say, well, I'm still a sinner. Yes, you are, and I am too. But we don't have the sin nature within us. That's why the smoke is still rising. When you do something wrong, and you know you've done something wrong, and I do something wrong, and I know I've done something wrong, there's something inside of me that rises up and says, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have thought that. You shouldn't have had that attitude. You shouldn't have gone about doing it. That's the smoke rising up that's saying the sin nature has been destroyed. Therefore, there's no agreement in the heart that's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ with sin. There is no agreement in the heart that is born of the Spirit of God and sin. We call it a guilty conscience. But I'm telling you, it's the Spirit of God. It's the smoke of destroyed sin that rises up in you to say, stop it! Smoke rose up forever and ever. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful God doesn't allow me to just go off in my own way. Because I know what I am. The 24 elders, the 4 beasts fell down. And they worshiped God. Where was God sitting? On the throne. Has God ever relinquished his throne? Even when we think that we have it our own way, when we think we're doing it our way, when we think that we have the world under control, when we think we have our life under control, when we think we have a day under control, when we think we have a minute under control, who's under control? God's got the control. He's seated upon his throne. What do the four beasts and the 420 elders say about that? Hallelujah! What do you say about that this morning, that God's on His throne? I say hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's seated upon His throne. He's in absolute control. Can I tell you, if you're one of the few that still watches the news, will you just keep there sitting there and saying to yourself, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Because those who are telling you what is supposed to, what they think to be news, is something that is absolute, utter. That's my theological term for the day. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's in control. Remind yourself of that on a daily basis. Very quickly, and this will come under another message another time. The 420 elders, that represents the prophets and the apostles. From Genesis through Revelation, they all spoke of what I'm talking to you about this morning. You say, well, back in Genesis, how did they speak about Jesus? Very quickly, do you remember when God told Abraham to go up into the mountain and there offer his son Isaac? You remember what was caught in the thicket? The ram? Do you know who that represents? Jesus. Not just does it represent Jesus, but it represents Jesus as the substitute for your sin. It was Jesus substituting for the death of Isaac. Jesus substituting for your death and for mine. You might say, well, we still die, don't we? Well, the body does, but we don't. Not if we're in Christ Jesus. We will never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said it to Mary and to Martha when Lazarus' body was dead. The body dies, but we don't. In Christ Jesus, we're transported from this old earth with all of its filth. We're transported into heaven's glory at that very instance. When we take our last breath here, our next breath is in heaven. When we have our last thought here, our next thought is in heaven. When we say our last word here, the next word is in heaven. Because of Christ Jesus. You know what I say to that? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying one more time, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I got to tell you, I'm having fun today. I'm enjoying myself today. I'm enjoying this message today of Jesus Christ and the fact that He reigns. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You say, well, is the preacher supposed to have fun while he's preaching? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. But I'm going to tell you, it's a pure drudgery when I don't. And I've been there too. But I skipped over a verse. No, I didn't. It's the next verse. What's our response to be? Is to be to the fact that God's in control. What's our response? Okay. That's good. I'm glad. Let's have. Let us be glad and rejoice. I hate to think this world was on my shoulders. I can't even make the right decisions for Steve, much less for the whole world. I can't keep the temperature right on this thing over here on the wall, much less keep it right for the whole universe. I say to that, hallelujah! I'm not in control. God is. He reigns and He rules. He's omnipotent. That word omnipotent means that He has absolute all power. All power. Jesus, the night that He was betrayed, as He had His disciples gathered in the upper room, He made a very simple statement, and one that I believe absolutely literally, figuratively, and spiritually. He said, without Me, you can do nothing. And I believe it with all of my heart. Without Jesus, I can't crook my little finger. Without Jesus, the thought process just doesn't happen, as He showed to us a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night. He brought me to a place of learning that night. Oh, I have my notes in front of me, but they don't mean a thing if the Lord don't put them together in your mind. And y'all are the ones that got to suffer. But even in that, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and I'm glad. I'm glad. How does God reign? How is His omnipotence shown throughout throughout the Scriptures? Just a few instances. You remember when He brought them out of Egypt? The very next day they came to a place and He couldn't cross it. It was the Red Sea. There was a sea in front of them. Pharaoh's army was behind them. How in the world were they going to get across? How were they going to escape Pharaoh's anger? How were they going to escape the things that were coming up against them that they had no control over whatsoever? God looked at Moses and He said, "What you got in your hand, Moses?" This is C's version. "What you got in your hand, Moses?" "I've got a rod. Hold that out over the water. Don't touch it, just hold it out of the water." Those of you that saw the little cartoon movie a few years ago and it showed Moses hitting the water, that's a lie. He didn't touch the water. I'm bold with that, but that's a lie. He held it out over the water. And when He held it out over the water, God caused the waters to part. And then He caused an east wind to blow. And as that east wind blew, it dried up the land, and the people walked across on dry land. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And that smoke still is rising up today. If you want to see some smoke, go back to Exodus chapter 14 and you'll see the smoke rising up where God brought them across. When they came to the Jordan River in the time of the flood, what happened there? God caused the waters to congeal and stand up on a heap, and they walked across on dry land. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. When Jesus was born, Herod says, "I'm going to kill all the little boys from 2 years old and younger so that I'll be sure to get rid of this one that they're calling the King of the Jews." Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He couldn't do it. He couldn't get rid of Jesus. And you know what? The world's trying to get rid of Jesus today, but they're not going to do it. Why? The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's in control. They're trying to destroy the church, but you know what? They're not going to do it. The church will never be destroyed. Why? Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let's be glad and rejoice in that. Then after 33 and a half years, they hadn't given up yet. They said, "We got Him now. We got Him. One of His very own sold Him out for 30 pieces of silver. We've got Him just where we wanted Him." You know what happened next. When Jesus laid down His life, they put Him in the tomb. Rolled a stone in front. I never really noticed this, but if I read it correctly, Joseph is the one that rolled the stone. It was his tomb, and he rolled a stone there. But then afterward, the high priest went back to Pilate, and they said, "We remember that deceiver, he said that he's coming here and he's going to die, and after 3 days he's going to be raised again. We want you to set a guard on his tomb so that his disciples cannot come in the middle of the night and steal his body away." Pilate looked at them and he said, "You go set the watch." You see, if it had not been them that had set the watch, if it had been the Roman soldiers, they would have said the Roman soldiers went to sleep and fell down on their job. If they had done that, they'd have been put to death. But they set their own seal. They set their own watch, their guard there. They sealed it, and they waited. I don't know what they were thinking about through the night, Brother Levon, but something was going on. But suddenly there was a loud noise, There was a shaking of the earth, and the stone rolled away. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. They came to the tomb, the women did, that morning. I know we heard this morning in our sunrise, but I like it. They came to anoint his body. When they got there, the angel was sitting on top of the stone. The angel looked at him and said, I know that you came to see Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's not here. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Well, where did he go? He's risen just like he said he would. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. What does that mean for me today? What does it mean that God reigns? First of all, sin has no dominion over me whatsoever. Sin has no dominion over you. You can't say the devil made me do that. And it's not true if you do say it. Satan's head, his dominion was crushed. He bruised the foot of Jesus, but Jesus crushed his head. He has no dominion. Oh, he has influence. Be assured of that. But he has no dominion. So when I sin, it's Steve. It's me. That I have to come before my Lord and say, I sinned. He says, because my son died for you, I forgive you. You have forgiveness of sin because of Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood. It isn't because that we promise that we'll not do it anymore. It isn't because that we promise that we'll start over. We'll do better the next time. No, forgiveness is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Only, purely, and simply. So I can walk in newness of life because the grave could not hold Jesus down. But there's another thing that I'm looking forward to. And I'll be honest with you, the older I get, the more I look forward to it. Yes, there's going to come a time, unless the Lord returns first, there's going to be a time when Steve will take his last breath on earth and his next breath in heaven. There's coming a time when this old body is going to be laid in the ground. It's just going to happen. That's just the way it is. It's a fact that nobody's going to get out of this world alive. None of us. But we have the assurance that Jesus Christ is alive and we're in Christ. So what does that mean? We're alive. We're alive. Not just bodily. We're alive in the Spirit. But when they lay this body in the grave, there's coming another day. And on that day, Jesus Christ is going to step out in the clouds. I've heard Sister Clara tell me this many, many times. He's going to step out on the clouds. He is going to shout. The voice of the archangel is going to shout. The trumpet is going to sound. And I assure you by the word of God that everybody that's in that cemetery or any other cemetery throughout this earth, or anybody that has been, any body in Christ, wherever it may be, lost at sea, whatever may have happened, God is going to take every ounce of that dust. He's going to put it back together. He's going to form a glorified body, a body that won't need glasses, a body that won't have to worry about whether or not the sound system works, a body that doesn't have to worry about aches and pains or anything else that comes along. He's going to change it, and we're going to be just like Jesus. How do I know this? The Bible tells me so. But not only does what a big statement. Not only does the Bible tell me so, but the Holy Spirit is in my heart. And the Holy Spirit agrees with what is said. He's the author of it. So He agrees with that, and He brings agreement in my heart and my spirit this morning that what God has said is the absolute truth. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Death could not keep it prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. Now, I got 30 seconds. It goes on to say that the bride put on the marriage garments. We're the bride. We're the bride of Christ. You say, I'm a man. That's all right. You're still the bride of Christ. If you're in His, you're His bride. What are those garments that we're to put on and wear every day? His righteousness. His honor. You see, that's our sole focus and goal and purpose on this earth, is to glorify the One who died for me. God, forgive me for the days that I fail in that. Thank You, Lord, that Your grace reigns. It reigns through Jesus Christ.